All right, this is July 21st, and the topic this month is build-up.
Good evening. Before we start, let me say something that I heard in the ether. This class is a wonderful class. I enjoy absolutely teaching this class. I think everyone is absolutely perfect. But here's the little thing. You do not... I love money. And I'm delighted that you put money in that basket. But if you do not have money to put in the basket, do not come to the class. It's not about the money, people. It's never about the money. Money is never the issue. So I hear some people say, oh, I can't come, I don't have the money.
Good evening.
Here they are. Good evening. That long? You're not late. You made it just on time, and that's wonderful. Well, I hadn't even started. I was just telling them about... As much as I love money, and I love that you put money in that basket, I hear some people say they can't come because they don't have money.
Oh, yeah.
Money is never the issue in this class, people. You know, if money was the issue, it wouldn't be a class. You see, I would charge more. Yes. So I just wanted to put that out there. So please don't. Do not come because you think you don't have the money. You need this. And I hate to be that bragging, but go ahead.
If we need money, can we take a little bit out?
Well, of course. Money is always freely circulating.
So if we need a basket.
You have to keep it.
Once a week we'll pass the basket
to take. Yes, we'll do something with it. So with that said, please, don't think that the class is about money. So many people make everything about money, and this class and this teaching is never about money. Although we want everyone to have money, and we want to teach you how to have money, but at the present moment, if you are short or anything, please come to the class, because if you don't come and learn these principles, you'll never have the money to do it. You see. This teaching will bring money to you. If you use it correctly, it will bring money to you. Okay? So, then, with that said, it's always wonderful to see so many gods and goddesses in one room. And as I said last week, and I'll continue to say, I hope that that is slowly seeking in to your consciousness. So that is the first thing that you think about, that you are one with this principle, one with this thing that we call God. You and God are one in the same. So let that sink in. That's the difference in this teaching than other teachings. They don't want to tell you that because they want to be able to control you. This teaching is to teach you how to think, not what to think. So, use your own mind, use your own resources and so forth, so that you build a consciousness of God, so that you know that everything is in divine right order, that things are working out exactly the way they're supposed to be working out. And when you think you have a problem or anything, remind yourself of that. This cannot be a problem. This may be a little bump in the road, but that is all it is. And I know how to take care of a bump in the road. I am not going to fall apart from it. See, that's what this teaching also tells you, that you have the strength to master anything, to overcome anything. Because you're one with this power that we call God, or this power that we call good. And when you realize that, then these things unfold in a completely different way. Okay, with that said, I found some cards. I was We haven't had these for a while. I have tons of them, by the way. While you will be a constant gatherer of experience and knowledge, your life is not only about that. It is about fulfillment, satisfaction, and joy. Fulfillment, satisfaction, and joy. The world teaches you to go out and get a good job, to make tons of money, to get married, to do this, that, and the other thing. But it doesn't tell you, and you think, oh, that's what life is, and if I do that, then I'll be happy and fulfilled and filled with joy. Well, you won't be. You see, you won't be. So, yes, go for the knowledge. Go for all those things. We want to gather all the information we can while we're on this plane of action. But we want to know that the main thing is to find satisfaction, to find fulfillment, and to find joy in life and in your life. Joy in your life. So that you wake up in the morning filled with joy and say, oh, what a wonderful experience I'm having. This thing called life is wonderful. This thing called life is wonderful. And fill your mind and fill your consciousness with that. There's too many people out there that have no joy in them, no fulfillment, and no satisfaction whatsoever. They're just plodding along because they're victims of the world, and the world teaches get all the money, accumulate all you can, you know, and then you'll be all right. There's that horrible bumper sticker that I see all, I don't see it lately, but I had seen it. It says, the one who dies with the most toys wins. The one who dies with the most toys wins. You see, the world wants you to think, oh, I have to keep accumulating. I have to have all that fancy stuff and all. And that's life. That is not life. That's a wonderful part of life, but it is not life. And we need all those things, by the way. It's wonderful to have all those things. But you have to have that joy and satisfaction and that fulfillment with life and with your life. So use them. When you lose touch with your inner stillness, you lose touch with yourself. When you lose touch with yourself, you lose yourself in the world. When you lose touch with yourself, you lose touch, you lose yourself in the world. You lose yourself to this world. And so many of us and so many people have lost themselves to the world, you see. And that's why they don't have any of this fun and fulfillment and all that kind of stuff. Because they're going by the way of the world. Don't go by the way of the world. The world is fickle. It always has been and it always will be. It's just pure fickle. And it tells you one, I'll use the word, strong word, lie after the other. It tells you one lie after the other. Years ago, we were taught what? Get a good education, get a good job. That no longer holds true. That's the way of the world. The world tells you, you can have the best education, can't find work. You see, years ago, it worked that way. It doesn't work that way anymore. And that's, so don't lose yourself in the world. Don't listen to what the world is telling you. Go inside of yourself to that stillness inside of you and find out what life is all about, what you are all about. Okay? The only thing that ever presents, the only thing that ever prevents your receiving something that you desire is that your habit of thought is different from your desire. Your habit of thought is different from your desire. Isn't that wonderful? So I just find these things in my desk all the time. And I love that one. You have to get yourself aligned with those things. So many people want prosperity and abundance, but they still have a consciousness of lack and limitation. You could not have a consciousness of lack and limitation and expect abundance and prosperity. You see, it doesn't work. That's why this is. Your habit of thought is different from your desire. Your habit of thought. And here again, that's the world. The world does not teach abundance and prosperity. The world always teaches scarcity. It always teaches that there's not enough to go around. And there's always enough to go around. You can't say that you live in an abundant and a prosperous universe and then say, well, there's nothing for me, you see. There's always something. You're just as important as anybody else. And you can find the abundance and prosperity that you're looking for. You can find that, and there's nothing wrong. You want to be abundant and prosperous. This thing we call God, could you see God as a poor person? Or as a poor being of any type? No. God is rich and wealthy. And therefore, you have to be rich and wealthy also. So, think of those things when you're down and out or whatever thoughts are going through your head. Now, this month, we were talking about to build up your consciousness and to build up other people. You know, when we say something derogatory about somebody, when we're not building somebody up, we think, oh, well, that's all right. Well, it's not all right. Why is it not all right? Because your mind never knows that you're talking about somebody else. Your mind cannot figure that out. You see, in your mind, you are the only one. So when you say something derogatory about somebody else, your mind says, oh, that's right, that's what you are, mean and hateful and spiteful, or whatever the thing is. It can never go past you. So we have to watch those things. This evening on the way here, Rose brought up Rhoda. And do you remember Rhoda? Her favorite expression was sarcasm cuts the flesh. Sarcasm cuts the flesh. And when you're sarcastic to people, you're really lashing out at them, you know. But here again, that sarcasm is right back at you. It's not to the other person. You see, and we say, oh, was it I put him down? No, you never put anybody else down. You put yourself down. That's why it's so important to build yourself up and to build other people up. Because we're all one. We're all one in this thing. And your mind and my mind cannot tell the difference. When you say something, your mind thinks you're saying it about yourself. It has no idea that you meant it for somebody else. So that's why it's so important to build yourself up and build your own consciousness up and say good things to yourself. Say good things about yourself all the time. Last week we went back to doing the matter dance, and we're going to do it again tonight, because if we don't remind ourselves all the time that we are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter, goes right down the tubes. We don't, you know, we have to build ourselves up. We have to have that. And that's that whole idea in the Bible when it says, build your house on a firm foundation. It's your consciousness is your house. Build your consciousness on a firm foundation. Most people's consciousness is not built on a firm foundation. It's built on a very wobbly foundation. It's the foundation. So when you learn these things, when you learn that all you are is God, that you are not all that God is, when you realize that you're part of this whole thing, when you realize that there is nothing out there but what you're projecting, you see, you can start to build a firm foundation where you then start to feel good about yourself, where you then don't allow what I call the nits and fleas of life to get to you. You have the foundation. No one can disturb you. So if somebody comes up and says something absolutely mean, hateful, and rotten to you, you have a firm foundation and you just let that go. What do they know about me? Nothing. You see? You have to do that for yourself. It's always this thing inside of you. And we have to take care of that. And we don't do that and we don't hear that. So to your own self and to other people, say something nice. I have a horrible habit of seeing something when somebody, say a woman or something, a pretty dress or shoes or hair or something, and I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, oh, isn't that hair nice? Isn't that dress nice? All this other thing. Do I voice that? Sometimes yes, but most of the time, no, I let it go. Why can't we say to somebody, oh, you look good today, you see? Oh, that's a pretty dress you have on. You see, that builds people up, and it builds you up at the same time. That's the things we want to hear, you know? And it's not, of course, being polite is a very wonderful thing to learn, to be polite to people. But you have to learn to say things nice to people. Now, why my mind won't do that is because my belief, I never heard that growing up. I mean, you know, people didn't give me compliments when I was growing up, you know. So we have to learn to give compliments, and we have to learn to receive compliments. So that's why we start with the whole idea that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Now with that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. And remember, we put the tagline on that also, that there's absolutely nothing wrong with me. You have to remember that there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. The mind likes to pick you apart. Your mind likes to pick you apart. And of course, the world and the other minds that we're working with out there, we can call them egos, you know. Egos are all around. Oh my goodness. There's ego everywhere, you see. Look at those things. Have a firm foundation. And don't allow yourself to be talked into things, you see. You can do that. We all can do that. And we have to learn. We have to learn to build ourselves up. And if you haven't heard that at home, you haven't heard that from your partner or anybody else, do it for yourself. Build your own self up. And then, when you have that, and you realize that you have a firm foundation, then you're able to give people compliments. You're able to say nice things and so forth. You see? I think many times people are embarrassed to give out a compliment. You see, you can never be embarrassed. God did not intend us to be embarrassed. God gave us a spirit that is victorious, always a victorious spirit. So we must realize that and give that quality to ourselves. Give it to ourselves. So build yourself up. Build other people up. And if you can't build other people up, please build yourself up. It's all done. It's an inside job. It's all done with your mind. There is only mind going on out there. Nothing else is going on in the world but what you are thinking. So it's always going to be that. What are you thinking and how are you thinking? And the nicest thing about it is you can change your thinking anytime you want. And you can learn to think the thought that you want to think. You see? When you learn to observe the movements of your mind, you start to see how silly the mind is. It really is. And it has to be controlled. And you have to control it. And I know sometimes it's, you think, oh, that mind of mine is so powerful, so this, so I'm usually so idiotic. But you have to remember that you're the one that's doing that. Your mind does not think by itself, people. Although that is the illusion that you have. You think, oh, my mind is racing this way and it's doing that. You're allowing that to happen. So we have to go back again to the idea that you are not your mind. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. Learn to use it correctly. Tell it what you want to hear. Tell it, no, I'm not going to have those old thoughts anymore. No, I'm not going to do that. Here's the way I want to see the world. Here's the way I want to be. And your mind has to listen to you. You see? You are not your mind. Please. Very difficult to understand because the world does not teach that you are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. So when we learn to use it correctly, we can do anything we want. We can do anything we want. It's all there. The mind, absolutely an incredible, I'll call it an incredible invention. It's an incredible invention. Our only problem is no one ever gave us a handbook on how to use the dumb thing. So we all learned haphazardly how to use it. And then we know how important thoughts are and so forth. It's all done with thoughts, people. Everything is done with a thought. So when you know that, you can change that thought to what you want it, to how you want to feel about it. Instead of letting your mind say, oh no, this person will do that, and the other thing. No, you are controlling your thinking. You are controlling your mind. And it may be a little difficult at first. Sometimes it's very difficult for me sometimes. But I keep at it. I persist until I'm able to correct my mind. So I'm able to say, I am in control here. You say, I am in control here. Most people have no idea that they're in control. They think their mind is in control. They think all the thoughts that they think are in control. You know, thoughts are always going to be there. It's like turning on a radio. I mean, it's just this whole room is bombarded with thoughts. It's just, that's the way it is. But you have to pick through those thoughts and you have to get rid of those things and push so that you can see the world the way it is supposed to be seen. But we allow the world to tell us all kinds of crazies that are not true. The idea of thought, you know, and I've said this before, words structure thought, you have to use your words correctly. They're very powerful words. You know how powerful they are. People don't know that. What is the first thing it says in the Bible? There was the Word. Yes, there was the Word. That means, in metaphysically, what that means is the Word that started all this from this thing that we call God. It was a vibration going out. And that vibration caused things. When you talk, you're always throwing out a vibration. And that vibration is what's doing the work for you. So words are very important. And I think I've said this many times. You have to have a very good vocabulary. Work on your vocabulary. Do you know that people who have small vocabularies, they get in trouble all the time? Why do they get in trouble with? Because they have a small vocabulary. They cannot express themselves. They don't have the words to express themselves. Or they have that one word that they use constantly. It starts with F, by the way. I must do that, just throw it out there. Words structure thought, and thought structures your life. Thoughts will give you a firm foundation. You have to do that. So, use your words. Get a vocabulary so that you can express yourself the way you want to express yourself. So that you don't. And that's a, I don't know if you could call it a scientific fact or what that is, but they've done many studies on people who get into trouble. And this always boils down to they don't have a big vocabulary. And because you don't have a big vocabulary, you cannot express yourself the way that causes frustration. And when you get that frustration, then you go and slug somebody or do something stupid, you see. So, build your vocabulary so that you can express yourself and so that you can ask. You know, in this teaching we say, ask for exactly what you want. People with a small vocabulary cannot ask for exactly what they want. You have to have that going on. So it boils down to words, people. You're, as Florence Shin would say, your word is your wand. Your word is your wand. Think of your words as a magic wand. Every word you utter sets up a vibration. It goes someplace and does something. It goes someplace and does something. So the words you want to come out of your mouth are words that build you up, that build other people up, that build this whole world up instead of tearing it down all the time. Instead of tearing it down all the time. We can do this. We can change this whole planet by changing the way we talk about ourselves. You see, it's easy. You just have to see it. And we live with people. I mean, I hear people and say, oh, well, you know how they are. And this, that is not building somebody up. You know, we can all go into the stereotype. We can all go into those things. But who wants to? You know, you don't want to do that to yourself. You want to build yourself up. You want to build other people up. And when you do that, you change. Your life changes. Those people change. One good word out there changes the whole world. Now, here's another experiment they did, and Paul and will probably know this one. In classrooms, if the teacher doesn't have the right vocabulary, doesn't have the idea of building the student up and so forth, the students do not do well. The students don't do well. And they may be very intelligent, but they don't do well. That's because of expectation, people. If you expect your class to do well, your class will do well. If you say, oh, they're just a bunch of dumb little idiots and their parents don't, whatever. Those children do not do well. See, we have to build those children up. We always have to build somebody up, you see. I don't know if when I was in school, that you were allowed to use the word, that kid's dumb. I don't think you could do that anymore, can you? But when I was, you could say that years ago, that kid's dumb. What a horrible thing to say to somebody. That's not building somebody up. You say it's just not doing it. So now we know better. And we do things better.
Spanking. I used to spank.
Yes. Yes. Talking about spanking. When I was in the fourth grade, I had a teacher. Kinder Shear was his name. Now, when you did something wrong, he made you put your hand out. And he had rawhide thing, you know, and he would hit you on that hand, and we would bring up a big welt, you know. So bring up a big welt.
To show your parents?
Yeah, well, and of course, you didn't show your parents, or I didn't show my parents, because they said, if you get in trouble at home, if you get in trouble at school, you're going to be in more trouble when you get home. So you didn't tell them anything happened. You didn't want to, I didn't want them under over my hand. But that's not building. You see, we have to build these people up.
It builds fear.
Pardon?
It builds up fear.
Oh, it builds up fear. Absolutely. It builds up fear, and we don't want fear. You see, there should be no fear on this plane of action at all. There should be no fear, you see. You can't have love and fear working at the same time. You can't have God and fear working at the same time. Now, when you have God and fear working at the same time, you have what is called a house divided against itself. So your consciousness now is divided between those two things. You cannot do that to yourself. When I was a minister, I used to have people come in for counseling that were getting married, you know. And I would sit and talk to them and ask them different questions. And the one question I'd always ask them is, well, what is your relationship with your parents? Well, I hate my mother and I hate my father. And I said, don't get married. You cannot have love and hate and fear going on at the same time. If you hate your parents, you're going to start to hate your spouse. It's insidious. It eats right through. Hatred and all that eats right through any love. And it deteriorates relationships. So, do not hate anybody. Then you can get married. But so many people get married. And they get married because they hate their parents, both of them. I hate my mother and father. She hates her mother and father. Ah, good, now we have something in common. We can get married. That's the common ground. You can't have that going on, you know. Build yourself up. Have only love going through you. You'll have little things, but if you run into all this kind of stuff and your mind's telling you, oh, that's awful, this, that, and the other thing, stop those thoughts and stop your own thinking and say, I can think better. I can think bigger thoughts. I can think God thoughts. I can think divine thoughts here. I do not have to think these lower thoughts. And they are lower, by the way. They have every thought and every word, I should say, has its own vibration. You see? Everyone. So there are such things as lower vibrations. And you don't want to live in those lower vibrations. You want to live in a higher vibration. The only way you can get to the higher vibration is by building yourself up and building other people up at the same time. You see? That's how you do that. So many people want to do all this kind of stuff, and remember what Jesus said, that's the blind leading the blind. You see? I see so many people attracted to the wrong thing, you see, they think that person's going to give them something, or that institution's going to give them something, and it's not, because it doesn't build you up. It does not build you up. We have to do that. We have to build each other up. We have to build ourselves up. And we have to have words with higher vibrations to them. With higher vibrations, you see. When you say, when I use the word divine, doesn't that do something much better to you? The word defined has a vibration. Now, I can say, oh, I hate that. Now the vibration has just gone down the tubes. It's just gone down the tubes. So don't do that to yourselves. Learn to see the movements of your mind. See what they are doing each and every moment in your life. It's tedious sometimes, I will admit that, but it is well worth it. And the more you can train your mind, the easier it becomes. You see, when you have never tried to train your mind, well, of course it's going to be difficult. Of course it's going to be difficult. But little by little, you can train your mind. Do one thing a day, and eventually it will all work for you, you see? That's another thing that the mind tells you. When I say these things, your mind says, oh, well, I can never do that. That's too big of a job, and that's this, that, and the other thing. Don't look at it that way. Say, I can do a little at a time. I can do a little today and a little tomorrow, and before I know it, I'll have it down. I'll have it mastered. You see? We do not have to rush through all this, as many people think. What many people do is this. They learn all this stuff, and they can spout it all off. But they don't have a firm foundation. They have no firm foundation. You must always start with a firm foundation. When I was teaching years ago, I said to people, I don't care if you want to go to that church, this church, if you want to pick up that little thing or talk, you know, all the different seminars, you can do any of that stuff. But first you have to get a firm foundation. Learn this teaching called Science of Mind. Then you can go out and do anything you want. You can go out and do anything you want. But so many people, oh, I'm not getting it from that. I'm going to go over to this seminar. I'm going to go to this place. I'm going to go to this. You can't do that. Because now you have no foundation to build anything on. And you have to have a foundation. This teaching is the only one that I know that can teach you how to get a firm foundation. It's the only one. And I've tried all the other ones. I'm sure I've tried more. You know, in the 70s, I was a seminar junkie. I took every seminar came down the road, because I wanted to learn, I wanted to learn. But I didn't have a firm foundation. When I got into this teaching, I said, this will be the foundation, and I will build from there. And once you have that firm foundation, then you can run around to all these different things. And you can see that some of them are saying exactly what we're saying here. And some of them don't have an iota of a clue of what's going on. And they're spouting all that stuff out. And it's all wrong. It's all wrong. But people flock in sign up for the seminar and give the person $500, and the person tells them any damn thing he thinks he wants to, or she thinks she, you know, it doesn't matter if it's real or not. they have the $500. You're saying? You have to think of those things. The world's down. You know, people have to think they have to have money. When you think you need all that money and you have all these seminars and so forth, and oh, I charge this, that, and the other thing. It's all ego doing that. There was a seminar person years ago, and I don't know if it was, it may be Louise Hay, it may have been Louise Hay, but don't quote me on that one. But one of them, you know, if you wanted her for a seminar, she would only come if you flew her in first class.
Only come at what?
If you flew her in first class.
Oh, my.
Yes. She would not do anything unless, you know, it had to be first class. Which is a good idea and so forth. But it's not where you want to be, you know. The first class ticket will come to you. You don't have to tell the people, you know. I only fly first class. If you want my seminar, you have to do this, that, and the other thing. That's not building anybody up. That's just pure ego, you know, to be able to brag with my seminars are somebody else pays for the first class ticket. Don't listen to those people. Don't do that stuff to yourself. Build yourself up. See yourself the way you want to be. And know that you are that person already. You just haven't unveiled yourself. You see? Everyone wants all these same qualities and so forth, and they're absolutely afraid that they don't have them. Well, I'm here to tell you that you do have them. You just don't use them because you're not used to using them, and you're hiding behind everything else. So, that the better qualities, the qualities that will build you up and build other people up, are hidden inside of you. They're all inside of you. Everything you want is inside of you, by the way. There's nothing on the outside of life. Nothing on the outside of life. I know that's a strange one, isn't it? Boggles my mind sometimes, too. But it's absolutely true. It's an inside job, and you have to find all those wonderful qualities that build you up yourself. But take a minute and find those things. Each and every day, say to yourself, oh, I have that quality. Oh, I love using that quality. You have to bring them to the forefront. They're in you. They are you. And you are them. You are them. All those wonderful things. So build yourself up. Tell yourself, I'm wonderful. I'm lovable. I'm all the wonderful qualities. And you will be those things. You will be those things. Starts with your words, people. Words have vibration. And I love that idea that your word is your wand. What you say really means something. You say, how else are you going to get what you want? By using your words, by using your thoughts, is how you achieve something on this plane of action. It's how you bring everything into your life. So build yourself up. See yourself as the wonderful, wonderful being that you are. And you are wonderful. And so am I, and so are you, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
So sweet.
Yeah, that's good.